Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's going on, everyone? Jody Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Wednesday morning. Well, look, we'll do a lot today on the Eagles because obviously the sting and the stench of Monday night lingers significantly. So we'll talk about it, all the parts of the team, obviously. You know, short week, short turnaround to another game coming up in just a couple days in New Orleans. Phils, they had a game last night. And it was a good one, as Zach Wheeler did, you know, Zach Wheeler things. And that sets up a scenario where tonight, the Phillies can clinch a playoff berth. So, look, we'll have some fun with that. Nick Sirianni's going to be on the show at 8:30 today. An awful lot with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Not all spiders make webs. It is getting sort of close to the Halloween thing.
It is.
And we're seeing those decorations out and about.
We are.
And I know a lot of people think spiders are pretty creepy.
Well, they are.
I do. Oh, are you afraid?
Not afraid. I think they're creepy.
What are you, well, I am. I'm afraid.
I'm fully afraid of spiders.
Yeah, that's my one thing. Yeah. Snake, nothing else bothers me. Spiders, out. Me too.
They're
fully
this
out.
Big.
That's why they're scary.
Well, they're not all this big. There are ones that are way bigger.
Really huge
I'm
ones
I'm scared
are
of big spiders.
Big.
Those are the ones I'm scared of. I don't mind the little
and
guys.
James,
but
just to be clear,
really
you
scared
mean,
of the ones that are as big
and,
as a paper
and James,
clip?
You don't mean annoyed by. You mean scared?
Like you know what I mean.
No,
like,
no, I don't know.
No. Like arachnophobic. I have a little bit of arachnophobia.
That
where like I
just kill it.
Bizarre. There are a lot of people who are scared of spiders.
They're all weird. All those people are weird.
Okay.
I'm not afraid.
Devin, apparently you're one of them.
Spiders.
That I'm weird for being
it's arachnophobia. Yeah. There's a name for it.
Yeah, I know. And I think those people are fools.
I also
being
think it's
weird
taken
by Joe
to
camera is the way to start.
You're right. It is strange.
Call Devin.
I think it's taken to new heights in a way that's strange. I think that if you're afraid of something that's that little, that's really strange. If you're super afraid of it, just smush it. That's the way I always looked at it. That is easy to do.
I get the annoyance.
They eat
I don't
bugs,
get the fear.
So they don't bother me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ray. All right. So, well, they bother me, but they don't scare me. That's the difference
well,
I'm trying to make.
What do you mean they bother you? That, see, I
don't
think
want
that's
one, one crawling up my arm bothers me. It irritates me.
All right.
It doesn't scare me.
Okay.
A bear on my arm scares me. You get
yeah,
the difference?
Yeah, I'm fine with a bear. I'll figure that out.
All right, let's get to it here, because what I'm really scared of is that our football team's not as good as we thought they were. And I want to find out today at 215-592-9494, first off, fundamentally, if you agree with that statement. Second, if you take it as far as I did yesterday when I said I actually think, now I don't know, time will tell, but I tend to think we have an average football team this year, a mediocre football team.
This is incredibly rash.
It might
you
be.
Are jumping it, the gun.
It might be,
Joe.
No, I get that. I may be, but I also know this. I may not be. So where do you stand? I mean, we've seen him for two games. We saw him last year. We saw him in 2022. There are parts of both of those teams still here. You know, the head coach is the same. The quarterback's the same. The coordinators are different. You know, I'd say through two games, we know, look, their record so far is average. And we know in both games, they could have won both and they could have lost both. They could be 0-2, they could be 2-0, they happen to be 1-1. Here's the reason why, or reasons why I net out to thinking that they are, I mean, I feel pretty damn confident, not as good as we thought. And less confident, but still, I'll take it to the point where I think they're average. Major defensive deficiencies up front. Major. Not minor. Major. That's number one. Number two, I don't think Jalen is as good as we hoped he would be or that he used to be. I was struck when John Johnson talked this morning in the show overnight about the fact that Jalen has the most turnovers in pro football since the start of last year. That's really bad. Now, I know if certain quarterbacks had played more, like a guy like Daniel Jones, if he'd played every game last year and the first two games this year, maybe he'd have more turnovers. Because, you know, if you play more, then you're going to turn it over more. Some guys last year got injured. Some guys last year got benched. So it's not to say when Jalen leads the NFL in turnovers since the start of last year that he's the worst quarterback in football. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm telling you is it's pretty damn alarming that he's got the most turnovers in pro football since the start of last year. So I see that issue and, you know, the Jalen stuff we've talked about. And then I'll also say this, and I think there's an effect we saw in week two right away with AJ's injury. And I feared this going in, and I stated it before the season, and I feel we saw it Monday night. They are top-heavy with their roster, which is great when
you
your players...
You mean like every other team in the NFL?
Not every team. It's great when your players play, but man, if you have an injury or two or three, you can be really susceptible to a steep decline quickly.
Oh, you mean like if you look at the Chiefs and if Patrick Mahomes gets injured?
Sure.
Yeah, that they're in trouble.
I understand that, John. But
that's the way of the world.
I saw Patrick Robinson step in for Ronald Darby in 2017 and just hold it down. And I saw Monday night with no AJ, and it's like, this ain't holding it down, boys. So look, I'm curious where you stand, 215-592-9494. Are you two different declarations I'm wondering if you're ready to say. One, are they not as good as we thought they were? Two, are you ready to go as far as to say we actually have an average football team this year? John, where do you stand?
So annoyed with you. You are jumping
what did
the
I do?
Gun.
I'm annoyed with them. They might ruin my fall.
You should be annoyed with them. You know what? I should be annoyed with you. Maybe I shouldn't blame you for your ignorance.
Okay, go ahead.
All right? So far this season, this team has played average. You know, our record is 1-1. It reflects that we've been exactly average.
Yep.
Our hearts and feelings reflect that we've played average, I think. You know, like that's what we're struggling with here. That doesn't mean the team is an average team. That doesn't mean that the talent is average talent. Look around the league, and there are a lot of very talented, way above average teams that don't quite look the part yet at times. You know, the Jets, the 49ers.
Yeah.
If Saquon catches the wide open pass,
2-0.
We're 2-0. We're not discussing this. I still
would have told you I think they're average.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that we would be worried about it. We would be, oh, yeah, we're average. We'll dismiss it. We'll be okay next week because we are going to be okay next week. Every team is uneven right now, and it's okay. Lots of teams have a loss like we do because they didn't practice all summer long. And then their first couple regular season games have become the new preseason. And I'm not making excuses for our team because we do have shortcomings. You know, I do wish that we were farther ahead in certain areas. Like, I thought our offense would be farther ahead. I did think that, you know, we're on the defensive side of things that we get a pass rush and we generate something exciting up front. Right now, I think that the D-line doesn't look professional.
Right? No, it doesn't.
And that is a concern. I think that the once upon a time, we used to create sacks with just relentless play and good mechanics up front.
And front four.
We don't have players who can do that.
And not needing to blitz. I mean, when they had 70 sacks 2 years ago, they didn't blitz much. Look, here's the way I
said... You know who has sacks right now for this team? It's Milton Williams and Zach Bond.
I know.
It's like, we don't have the personnel for that. And, look, in that regard, I guess we're kind of average.
No, in that regard, they're dramatically below average. Look, here's the good news, guys. There are three parts of this team that I think the Eagles are exceptional with. And by the way, there's a lot of teams that don't have three parts that are exceptional. I think they're exceptional with their starting wide receivers. Now, unfortunately, one of them is going to be out for a couple games, maybe as much as a month. I think they're exceptional when their starting receivers play. I think they are exceptional in the backfield with Saquon Barkley. And I think they are either really good, great, or maybe even still exceptional at the offensive line. I've been very impressed with the offensive line so far. So, you know, you do have some hefty quality positive results already on the table and perceived going into the year with some big chunks of the team. But I look at the D-line, let me play some audio with Seth Joyner. Because I want to play something Seth said yesterday. Guys, I'm telling you, this lingered in my mind all day yesterday after he said it. It scared the hell out of me. And it further emboldens me to say, I think what I said at the start of the show yesterday that they're average, before Seth even said this, might be right. Here's Seth on our show late in the program yesterday.
They have a major, major problem on the defensive side of the football. You can be deficient in one area and proficient in the other, but you cannot be deficient in these two areas at the same time. You cannot be a football team that can't stop the run and a football team that can't rush the passer.
I got to tell you guys, that really grabbed my attention yesterday. So look, where do you net out here? 215-592-9494. Is it jumping the gun to say they're not as good as we thought they were? Is it jumping the gun to take it even further and say they actually just might be flat out average this year? Where do you stand? 215-592-9494. The good news is, you know, average can get you to the playoffs, 9-8. That can get you to the playoffs. You know, if Dallas doesn't run away with it, the Eagles should be in it. Washington and the Giants, I mean, they're nothing. You know, so average doesn't mean you can't. I think the Bucs were average last year. They won a playoff game.
The Bucs got stronger as last season progressed.
And you can see the beginning of this season that the Bucs were more than that.
Yeah.
When we come back, we have to talk about something that I saw rewatching. Yeah. You know, last year I thought there was a template. I was worried a template was created by Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Yep.
And then all season long, it felt like we sort of fell prey to that.
Yep.
I think there was a template created, not in week one, but in week two against
us. Okay, well, look,
we cannot stop now.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run.
Well, problem is, Kirk Cousins didn't have to run or hide. He just stood there and said, yeah, let me pat the ball. Look, survey, pat the ball, look, survey. Bryce Hoff, you're not getting to me. Jordan Davis, you're not getting to me.
Mostly he handed it off to Bijan Robinson.
Now, that guy's good. You saw two of the better running backs in pro football in this game. I mean, that was – and by the way, Eagles are going to see another one, Alvin Kamara. I mean, you know, maybe he's back.
Guys,
he hasn't been.
Oh, Alvin Kamara, he is so good. He is so good.
Yeah.
And that – template, that concept that I was talking about, you know, last year.
So what is it? What is the template you're talking about?
Last year, the Patriots came out and they jumbled things up against the RPO, and it felt like teams did that against us all year long. Man, this week two, the weak side zone run. The weak side zone run, it was time and time again our doom. And the problem is, you know, people are flowing, the linebackers are scraping, but eventually it became like, oh man, not again. I don't want to have to do this.
Did Zach Ball disappoint you in this game?
Because
we were hoping after week one he was legit. Do you think he's less legit
than
we thought?
That's the thing. As great as we felt after week one about our linebackers going out there and making plays, this week when a team decided, hey, we're just going to line up and run it, and you're going to have to fend off blocks from big guys up front and be tough, you know, be hard-nosed. They weren't as good at that. They didn't like as much. And teams are going to take advantage until we stop it. N'Kobe Dean, Zach Bond, they need to grow big neck rolls coming out of their shoulder pads because this is it's time to hit people.
Yeah, Kamara's a good back. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Are they average? Tom in Deptford. Tom, good morning.
Guys, I've been jumping at the bit. I mean, did that last series look like a microcosm of what they did in Seattle to us? I mean, it was scary. But here's the other thing is, you may have in 2 or 3 years worth of drafting maybe got 1.5 players out of this. And I'm not sure Carter is an average. I'm really not. We don't know yet. But
he's not average.
Yeah, he's not average.
He's not average.
He's not average.
We don't know. Okay.
I know that there's other stuff that might bring him down, though.
Right. Yeah, he might not get his talent out of himself because
that's scary.
Okay, but let me say this. You got a guy at 6'7", 350 pounds. He should be throwing people into the front row. And what? He's getting blocked into the sidelines. I've never seen a guy as big as Davis get pushed around, and I watched that whole game. He got pushed around, and it's unbelievable that in almost 3 years now, he came in, he might not be able to play. I'm not sure. That middle of that line is so wide open. You got one guy that can play on that line right now. I mean, Seth is right. You can't stop the run. You will get destroyed in this league. And that's the problem. We are not going
to. Let me tell you one thing about what Seth said. I think and I think he said a lot of truths, but I'll say this one thing that makes me feel a little better when I think about it in hindsight. I think there's a better chance the Eagles will be able to stop the run than get to the quarterback. Like, I don't think they're going to get to the quarterback this year. I don't. Okay? But I do think there is a chance that the run defense with Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter should be. Now, I don't think Bryce Huff contributes to this, but I think Brandon Graham contributes to this. I think Josh Weck can contribute to this. Like,
last
I don't think there
we
is,
saw that, Joe.
I don't
last
think they're as bad at it as the pass rush.
Last year, what you're suggesting, we saw Jordan Davis actually step up and play better, improve the way he got low, you know, improve the way he bent his knees in the middle of games, even when he was tired.
Have you
that
seen
was
that this
problem.
Year in two games?
No.
No,
the,
we haven't.
The problem,
I mean,
that has been a major part of the problem this year in two games. And this last game, Jordan Davis was 29 snaps. The guy that we are depending on more than ever.
Yeah,
right?
In year three,
we
by the
told,
way.
Yeah. We could depend on him. He's in the greatest shape of all. All right, 29 snaps then?
Tom, I need an answer from you. Are the Eagles average? And I don't mean because they're 1-1. I mean, is this team average?
Yes. Yes, they are. They're average without Brown in the game. That's for damn sure. And also, they don't collapse the pocket. That's another reason why their defensive ends don't get any pressure. When they had Hargrove, they collapsed that pocket.
Well, and Fletcher. Listen, and by the way, it wasn't just Hargrove. And, Tom, that's a good example. Guys, let's go back a couple years. Hargrove was here. Fletcher Cox was here. Timmy Jernigan was in there. I mean, I'm going back about 4 years there, 5 years. I mean, they had some dudes up front that could do that. Now, listen, Jalen Carter can do that. Jordan Davis can't. Don't kid yourself. Jalen Carter can. He needs to. I said it in the offseason, I'll say it again. This defense, what they have, this football team, what they have, it requires Jalen Carter to be great. I don't expect Cooper DeJean to be great. I don't expect N'Kobe Dean to be great. I do expect Jalen Carter to be great if this team's going to be great. If he's not, they're not. Book it.
Well, he's got it in him. For some
he does
reason,
have it in him.
For some reason, the frustration and other things have been holding him back this season, and we've got to get to the bottom.
And the team has
to get to the bottom of that.
I agree with you on that, John. The other thing I'll say about it is, you know, Darius Slay, we'll see what he's got left. We saw Bradbury a year older last year fall off a cliff. I'm not saying Slay's there. What I'm telling you is my hope going into the year was that Slay and Carter would be the two best defensive players on the team. And that's still my hope, but I know this, the worse Darius Slay is as he gets older, the more imperative it is, imperative, that Jalen Carter be great. 215-592-9494. We'll talk about the Phils in 1 minute. They got a big win last night.
If you're engagement ring shopping, don't buy a diamond until you check out the all-new bridal collection at my friends Benari Jewelers. Recently, I spent time in one of their showrooms, and I was so impressed with lots of things, but especially their industry-leading 110% diamond upgrade guarantee on all-natural diamonds. Let me explain why this is incredible. Let's say you buy a diamond today at Benari for $10,000, but later on, you want to trade up to a larger diamond or maybe a different shape. Well, Benari will give you $11,000 toward the new diamond. That's a guaranteed 10% appreciation. You can get the 110% trade-up value regardless of the cost of your upgraded diamond. Now, that's a company that believes in its product and honors their customers. If you're engagement ring shopping, don't get distracted by the latest fads and exaggerated promises. Trust the experts at Benari. Benari Jewelers. Two showrooms, Exton and Newtown Square. Online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie on this Wednesday morning. AMA today at 7 o'clock. You ask, we answer. Those are questions from Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. So get those questions in. Obviously, ways you can throw some sports or non-sports questions to us. We'll have some fun at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. All right, let's have some fun with the Phils right now. So they got a win last night. It's a step closer to the playoffs. It's a step closer to the one seed. It's a step closer to home field advantage throughout the postseason, the whole deal.
It's a step closer to Bryce Harper being completely back with his power and none of us having to worry. Why is the ball only getting to the warning track?
Yep.
Bryce, thank you. Thank you for dispelling our concern.
Yeah, three homers now. And what, so that was
four games.
4 days. Okay, good. Four games, yeah. So nice job by him. Let's actually get to how it ended last night. Jeff Hoffman in there to close out a 5-1 game. But I want you to listen to the words Scott Fransky says near the end of this call, and you'll know why.
0-1. He swings, and it's a roller to second. Charging Stott. He gloves it, flips to first. The ball game's over, and the Phillies are one win away from clinching a spot in the postseason as they beat the Brewers tonight in Milwaukee. 5-1 the final.
Here's my message today on the Phils, guys. Never take these days for granted.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Never. I mean, look, we'll see ultimately what they do in October, and we'll see in the next 2 weeks whether they get the one seed or not, okay? They're two games up on the Dodgers right now, which means they're three up because they own a tiebreaker. But the reality is they have a chance today, and they probably will because it can happen one of two ways, a Braves loss or a Phillies win, to clinch a playoff berth tonight. I mean, John, how many years did we do this show together? I mean, forget 1956, okay? Forget 1972. Forget 1998. Just in the last 10 years, how many times did we do a show when the Phillies were out of it on like May 15th? Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Phillies can clinch a playoff berth. I know it's not as big a deal as 2 years ago because that was going to be the first time in like forever. All right, I get it. I'm not a dummy. I know this tonight isn't as big a deal probably as in a couple days when they clinch the division, which frankly is the thing they should celebrate more. But, I mean, tonight the Phillies can get the golden ticket to frickin' go into the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory of the playoffs.
All right.
And I'm excited by that.
The question is, after they find out that they are in, they pop?
Well, so Rob Thompson talked after the game last night. He didn't say whether it would be champagne or not. He said they're going to do something tonight, but they're going to save the bigger thing for clinching the division.
A classy one tonight, you know?
Listen, you know what you could do? You could pull out champagne.
And do a toast or something.
Toast your team and no one drinks it.
Yeah.
Do you open it?
You could put the finger out.
I guess.
If you open it, you're ruining a bottle of champagne.
Yeah, you know what? I think a multi-billion dollar organization can afford that.
I'm sure someone in the clubhouse will drink the champagne.
I'll tell you what, Bryce Harper can afford it. Listen, that would be my thing. Pop champagne, one. Little pour in each cup. Toast, cups down.
Well, you have to drink it.
I think there might also be some superstitions about not taking a sip after toasting. So I'd be a little cautious.
All right,
limit it to one glass of a player.
You
I love rules on celebrations.
I know. Well, I'll tell you this. I certainly don't want the clubhouse tarped. All right?
No.
No, right? I'm assuming they can drink a glass of champagne and be okay to play the next
day.
They probably could.
All right, but how do you want to see the Phillies handle it tonight? 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on last night's game? By the way, Zach Wheeler, stud. Guy's unbelievable, unbelievable player. So the Phillies obviously in a good spot right now, regular season-wise, for October. God, this song just puts me in a good mood.
Me too.
Now, the 20-year-olds, you might not know this, all right? Or maybe you do. I mean, obviously. But Beverly Hills Cop was a big deal. So I saw the, I don't know, fourth installment.
The new one.
Axel F.
Fifth installment. Yeah, the
it's
new
the
one.
It's the fourth.
It was
fourth.
Amusing.
It was.
I enjoyed it.
Amusing,
yeah.
But, you know.
Well, you have to go in expecting it to be,
correct.
You know, it's not going to be Beverly Hills Cop.
Every once in a while, something years later is really re-grabbed.
Like
Maverick
was great.
In the 90s. After Aerosmith in the 70s, like they reclaimed it.
Well, Top Gun Maverick is
Top Gun
perfect
Maverick.
Example.
That's a perfect example.
One of your worst takes, right?
I don't get it.
I know.
All right, let's go to the phones. Where do you stand on the Eagles? Are they an average team? That is today's Twitter poll question of the day. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season in Armin. Available 1.9% financing on all new 2024 light duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Do you think the Eagles will end up as an average team this year? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines. If you did not make it to the airwaves here yesterday and still just want to vent from Monday night, I mean, believe it or not, it's still only been about 31 hours or 32
can I call
hours.
In?
Yeah, all right, Rhea, give me a good vent. Give me a good, let me hear a good Rhea Hughes. I'm still in a bad mood. It's only been 32 hours.
I still can't. I'm shocked that there are still people out there who go, oh, the 3rd and 3, you know, the pass the ball was. I'm not saying that it wasn't a great play. It was. It was perfectly thrown by Jalen and, you know, Saquon. But it's very, very simple. The clock was your friend at that point.
Mm-hmm, okay.
They had declined a penalty earlier because they knew the clock was your friend. So at that point, you have to look at that third down as taking time off the clock and being more aggressive.
So you know, I will continue to disagree.
That aggressive move was what they did.
Yeah,
you
went
to
no,
be more aggressive.
And
they were trying to win
it,
the game.
No, you didn't let me finish. Four downs, going for it, like using.
You would go for it.
Oh, absolutely.
With a minute to go.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are different ways that could have gone. People were very conflicted in the aftermath of
look
what they should have
done. They'd get the ball. There'd be a lot less time.
But they'd only need three to tie.
Exactly, which means they don't go for a touchdown.
Yeah, you have a lesser chance to lose in regulation.
That's all,
in all likelihood.
It still irritates me.
No, look, that was a tricky one, obviously. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Shield joins us soon. Let's go to Jack right now. Jack, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Rhea, great point. They didn't
except she's wrong. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah. So I said to Jimmy, if you look at the film, it looks to me personally that Saquon got light blinded when that ball was coming to him. The trajectory of the ball is not a Nick Foles throw. It's a Jalen Hurts.
Well, to be fair, regardless of whether it was a fall, it was an accurate pass. I mean,
there's nothing to read into it.
Joe, it was accurate. But he was lunging like a halfback. He wasn't like a wide receiver waiting for an assist. And as you look,
I don't agree. I think it was a perfectly thrown pass. Go back.
It was perfectly thrown.
Okay.
But I think he got light blinded.
Well, listen, I can't tell you you're wrong. I can't tell you you're wrong. But I would tell you this: I find it hard to believe. I would find it hard to believe that the link is constructed in a way that any time a pass comes to that spot at nighttime, that a guy's going to get light blinded by lights that are above the stands.
I've seen it happen in Citizens Bank Park. It can. John knows.
Yeah, but here's the. But hold on, Jack. Here's the thing about baseball: the ball goes, I don't know, 200 feet in the air. goes really high.
Yeah, it's a much different trajectory than a short pass in football.
Yeah, I mean, those lights in baseball up near the top, the ball goes, you know, up near the top.
And sometimes there's, I don't know, the sun involved in baseball games. Yeah. You know, it's a thing. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, 215-592-9494.
It's really hard to get light blinded when the ball is a football and it's so big.
That's true.
It gets close to you, it obscures everything. It like
well,
they
baseball,
teach you
baseballs are white, footballs aren't.
It, well, that's another thing. They teach you if you can't see it, catch the sun because eventually that's where it's going to be. Well, it's so big.
We
it,
can
you
talk
can
about the thing that's driving me nuts is we can talk about this drop pass all day long, but the fact of the matter is there's a million other different reasons why the Eagles lost that game.
Tons.
And it's not because Saquon dropped
And guys,
pass.
We have the biggest reason that I'm concerned about is the weak side zone. Weak side zone is replicable. We have linebackers who were really good in week one who didn't hold up in week two when guys came out and tried to cover them up.
Let's find out more about that with Shil Kapati. In 1 minute, Shil, on the Eagles' offense, the defense, and where they project moving forward. Shil Kapati, who broke down the film, joins us in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, of which I've been a patient of PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. And PI Dental Center are the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for dramatic transformations in a mere 1 day. If you got a big issue, if you got a major problem, your teeth, your gums, somewhere in that whole region, know this. PI Dental Center can fix you. But also know this, you got to get yourself there. All right? Fort Washington's where they're located. You can start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com for a new patient evaluation. All right, let's talk some Eagles football with our next guest, our first of the day. Shil Kapati does wonderful work covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League for The Ringer, and he joins us as he does every Wednesday at this time. Good morning, Shil.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, I'm still in the mode of junk. All right, so, Shil, there's so many ways to go here. Let me just start with this, and then we'll go back to the game. But are the Eagles not as good as we thought they were entering the season?
Well, it depends how good you thought they were. I mean, I thought they were an 11-win team and were going to win the division, and I don't feel as great about that, but I still think they're going to be right there and that they're still going to finish above 500 and be in the mix. So it depends on what your expectations were.
Yeah, okay. All right, so, Shil,
Hold on. There's an interesting follow-up to that. So the situational football, the situational coaching of football, I think that matters too. Is this team a poorly situationally coached football team? Because I saw a stat yesterday that said we were like tied for, what was it, the most losses with the lead with 2 minutes left in regulation over the last couple of years. We are tied for the most losses in all the NFL. Like, we've let games slip away more than any other team out there, which suggests coaching, poor coaching, situational coaching. Do you attribute it to that, Shil?
Yeah, I mean, they've had their issue. This game, I'm sure to a lot of people, felt like that Seahawks game last year, where you blow it at the end, and then your quarterback has the ball at the end, and you throw an interception. So, yeah, they have had issues with that. I know they practice it. I know they harp on it. But at some point, like you said, you have to look at the data. I mean, they had, what, a 9% chance to win this game if you look at some, you know, whatever graphics they showed on TV, and they lost the game. So, yeah, you have to point to that.
Shil, you know, one of the things we love having you on the show about is you've had a chance to review the film. Defensively, what is the main thing that stood out to you, not just from the TV copy, but the game film, the All-22, what stood out to you defensively?
No, they don't get near the quarterback. I mean, everything you thought on Monday night, it was worse on film. I mean, these guys, Kirk Cousins is standing back there, and don't tell me he got rid of the ball quickly, because you can look at those numbers on that now, and he didn't. He's getting to his backside reads. He's comfortable in the pocket. The guy can't move. He's 36 years old coming off an Achilles. They didn't move the pocket. They didn't do anything that creative schematically. And your pass rush that you've invested – what, 3 first-round picks, you made a big free agent signing, and these guys aren't coming close. I mean, they are on the ground, they are running 5 yards past the quarterback. They're running these stunts that nobody is working together. Nobody's getting home. Nobody's getting close. I mean, when you have a pass rush like that, it's just really hard to do anything defensively to impact the game, to make those game-changing plays. And that absolutely is the number one takeaway. They have 3 sacks in 2 games, and one of them was that cheapie that Zach Bond got on that last play in game, you know, week one against Malik Willis when he's throwing a Hail Mary. They don't touch the quarterback.
Oh, man. And then what about stopping the weak side run? When I was going back and looking at some of those plays from the game, felt like our linebackers are flowing and getting engulfed. And it looked, and I thought, wow, that looks similar to the run from earlier. Wow, that looks similar to the run from earlier. Wow, once upon a time, had I been on the field in a fullback spot, like offset, we would have called that 98-99 toss weak. It's a weak side zone. And they killed us with it. And what's to stop every single team we face from killing us with it in weeks 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? I'm really frightened about that, Shiel.
Yeah, well, I was going to tell you, I mean, you know what the Saints do next week. They have the exact set. That's their run scheme, is that outside zone, and then you run the play action off of it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the linebackers in this game, so the guards for the Falcons were not covered up by the Eagles' defensive linemen. So they're getting to the second level, and a lot of these big runs, it's the same thing over and over again, where they're doing a great job with kind of these cut blocks in space, where they're taking out Zach Bond and he's on the ground and the running back cuts it back and all of a sudden it's a 14-yard run. I mean, listen, it comes back to the defensive line. You have 3 sacks in 2 games and you're allowing 6.4 yards per carry, the worst in the NFL. Through 2 games. You can't be bad at both those things. Like, you can tell me, all right, you can't rush the passer, but hey, at least these guys are stuffing the run. Nope, they're not doing that. Well, they're, you know, they're bad against the run, but at least they're getting affecting the quarterback. Nope, they're not doing that either. I mean, Bryce Huff in this game, Bryce Huff looks lost in this game. I'm not trying to kill the guy. I'm not trying to destroy him after 2 games. It's a long season.
Have you seen anything like that, Shiel? Is he salvageable? This year, can he give us what is expected to be like a functional NFL player?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there have been times, even Javon Hargrave, when he got here, he got off to a slow start and then was good. So I'm not going to say Bryce Huff can't. He's been a good player before. He had double-digit sacks last year. But if you watch him in this scheme, I mean, his pass rush reps, he's not getting close. And then they're running. They had a possession in the second half where they're running right at him 2, 3, 4 times in a row. He can't set the edge. He's getting blocked by tight ends in this scheme. Yeah. Like, I really wonder this next game against New Orleans on Sunday, I'm going to be looking at what his playing time is, because I have a feeling Vic Fangio's going to watch that film and say, I don't know that we can have him out there on early
well,
down.
Well, let's talk about that also as it applies to Jordan Davis, the guy we were told is in great shape, the best shape of his life. By the way, only had 29 snaps in this last game, despite being in the best shape of his life. I thought he was the missing, you know, keystone to stopping the run. Shiel, he was in the game, or he was supposed to be able to be in the game. Why couldn't we stop the run?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He played fewer than 50% of the snaps. Now, on the snaps that he was in there against the run, I don't think he was the major issue. I mean, I think he was fine. He was doing what he was asked to do, but he's certainly not a disruptive player. He's not someone who's destroying blocks and getting in the backfield and making life easier for everyone else, so he's okay. But he's not great. And then you look at the last possession of the game. So you know that the Falcons, they got to pass the football there, and you want to get your best pass rushers out there. Jordan Davis isn't on the field. Moro Ojemo is on the field next to Jalen Carter at defensive tackle. I mean, that tells you everything. You know, they're telling you, we don't have to guess. They're telling you, who do we think our 4 best pass rushers are when we need a play here, and he's not on the field.
Moro Ojemo.
Hey, Shiel, let's go to offense, because we could do this defensive thing all day, and it's fascinating, but they stink defensively. Let's get to the offense. What did the film show you about how they dealt with no A.J. Brown, how Kellen Moore cooked it up, how Jalen Hurts dealt with it as the quarterback? This could be the reality for 2 or 3 more games. What did you see with no A.J.?
Yeah, I don't know. Kellen Moore didn't cook too much up from what I was watching. Now, it was one game, but you would think that, all right, you don't have A.J. Brown. Let's get Dallas Goedert more involved here. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Dallas. How does Dallas Goedert have four targets in a game where you don't have A.J. Brown? I don't understand that. And Britton Covey has six targets in this game. So that one was a head-scratcher to me. Jahan Dotson is not involved at all. He was on the field for, I think, almost every snap, and he got one target for 6 yards. Now, I'm not telling you the film's showing him wide open and they got to get him the football. It's not showing him that, but they didn't dial up any plays or scheme anything up to Jahan Dotson. So it was a little head-scratching to me from a schematic perspective. They had one play of 20-plus yards, and that was a Jalen Hurts scramble. You guys watch football around the NFL. I mean, some of these coordinators, they're scheming guys up wide open for explosive plays, and I didn't see any of that in this game. So, yeah, schematically, I didn't see much that was to get excited about here. Now, Jalen Hurts, I thought he had to kind of put the team on his back at times and just sort of create because stuff wasn't there within the scheme and guys weren't open. And so what he did with his legs and the way he threw the football for the most part, I actually thought he played pretty well, and this could have looked a lot more ugly if he wasn't doing it.
Yeah, wasn't that encouraging, the way that he played? To my eye, he looked twice as explosive as I can remember seeing him in a long time. Isn't, like, for whatever reason, it all came out in week two. Is that something we can expect to continue, Shiel?
Yeah, I think the types of runs with Jalen Hurts, that's really important to take a look at. You know, when they're trying to run the zone read stuff, and he's trying to get around the edge, he doesn't look great in that, in my opinion, through the first two games, and he didn't look great in that last year. However, when he's scrambling, he looks great. When they're running those inside runs with him, and he's kind of going through the line of scrimmage, he still can be very effective doing those types of things. So I don't think you want to ask him to kind of turn the corner against a defender up there on the edge. But the other stuff, yeah, I mean, 13 rushes for 85 yards, that one drive, it was just Jalen Hurts scrambling the entire drive. And then they dialed up some, design stuff for him with a quarterback draw, with some gap runs inside with Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I thought without that element of the offense, this, you know, I think they would have lost by more in this game. There's no doubt about it.
Shiel, final thing here. So before the Eagles Monday night game, the Eagles were favored against the Saints. And now since that game's been played, the Saints have become a 2.5-point favorite. I mean, it's a pretty incredible jump. Are the Saints legit? Put another way, how great is this challenge on Sunday?
Yeah, it's really rare that the line moves through zero like that, where, you know, to that extent. Mm-hmm. So from what everyone has seen, the Saints last week had a terrific game plan against the Cowboys. It's a very schemed up offense, meaning they run a lot of play action. Over 50% of the snaps, they use play action. So your linebackers have to be buttoned up in this game because they can run the ball. And when they don't run the ball, they try to get you to think they're running the ball. And then they create these big voids in the middle of the field. So they did a great job with that against the Cowboys and Micah Parsons. Now, it's two games. We've seen a lot of Derek Carr in the NFL, and he's been mostly, you know, solid, mediocre, slightly above average, but not great. He's playing the best football of his career through two games, but it is a small sample. So I think it is a challenge. It's a bigger challenge than you thought going into the season, but the Eagles have enough on their team if they can get some of this stuff together to go down there and win that football game.
Shiel, nice work, buddy. Again, everyone follow Shiel's work with The Ringer. And Shiel, we look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you, Shiel.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. All right.